How dare you?
It's the news, according to me. It is Friday, February 5th. Friday, February 5th. It's the triple F day. What does that even mean? It means nothing. Little thing I happen to think of. Yeah, it's 12 degrees outside here where I am. And that's enough to make me want to move. But I'm just going to hang out here for a while. It's too cold to go outside and move anything around, so it's not going to happen. But it's early. It's really early in the morning. It's 8:45. It's way before my bedtime. I have hot chocolate. It's a big day today. Today's a big day for some people. For other people, it's not. So there you go. That's the report. Thanks for watching. And that'll be the end of the show. See you later. No, not really. had you going there for a second, didn't I? Have we've got some interesting stuff going on. For those of you who are Mike Lindell fans, this is the day. This is supposedly the day that everything's coming out. He apparently released a link last night that was him being interviewed by somebody. And talked a little bit more about this, but it was a live thing, and after it went live, it didn't. When I looked for the link, it wasn't reposted yet. It wasn't on YouTube. It was on some other network, and I never saw the interview, so I don't know what to tell you about that. Other than I didn't see anything. So again, that's the show. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening. No, we. He's got this thing coming out. Mike Lindell's got this thing coming out that's supposedly a documentary. And he said it's 3 hours long. Now, see, here's the problem I have with this stuff. Nobody's going to watch a 3 hour long documentary that has anything else to do anyway. And I can guarantee you that people in Congress are probably not going to watch the documentary because they think that their lives are much too important. Which brings up a question. Okay, so this whole Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Costco, I think it's her middle name. During a joint session of Congress, which means, you know, that's both House and Senate. So she should have been in there because it's both of them. She's in another building that's like a mile and a half away. And by the time you walk through the tunnel and go through all that stuff, I mean, it's got to be at least a mile walk or a cart ride or whatever she did. And there were several representatives over there in the offices, meaning they weren't at the meeting. They weren't at the joint session of Congress. What are you doing? Isn't this your job to show up at joint session of Congress? What? Why aren't you there? You're over in another building. And you're so busy claiming to be under attack. Yeah, she's getting a lot of flack for that. And she deserves it. Of course, now today or yesterday, maybe I think it was yesterday, she was standing in front of the Congress again and talking about her experience. And of course, the AP was covering it. Oh my goodness. Everything she went through. I'm sure it was a scary thing. They've had all this time to keep it worked up and to work it up even more. The rhetoric and the language that they're using and the things that they're saying. Maxine Waters now, just to give you an idea of how the rhetoric has ramped up. Maxine Waters now claims from the House floor, she says that President Trump, she didn't call him President Trump. President Trump should be arrested for attempted homicide or attempted murder. I think, I'm not sure exactly how she put it. Or something like that. I think it was, attempted murder. I think is what it was. Attempted murder? I don't know, whatever it is. This is the kind of language that is completely beyond the pale. And it's inappropriate. It is irresponsible. And she gets away with it. She's still on all kinds of committees. In fact, she got a huge committee job. And now the purpose for these committee jobs, for those of you who don't know, when you get these committees, it does give you more pay because there's another expenditure budget you have. There's all kinds of benefits there by being on a committee. There are perks involved. You have a little more power to make decisions and to make legislation to bring some of those things out. How do you think? When Nancy Pelosi says, well, you have to pass the bill in order to see what is in it. When they make a statement like that, when a congressperson or a Hillary Clinton, who was the first lady, presents a bill, like a health care bill back in the 90s, when they present legislation that's hundreds or thousands of pages long, do you think that they created that? Does anyone stop and think about that? That they were just sitting in their office, just typing all this stuff out? Where do you think this stuff comes from? Where do you think the bills, like these $1.9 trillion bills that they're trying to pass now, who do you think wrote all that? Does anybody ever ask that question? I guarantee you that Schumer and Pelosi are not sitting in an office somewhere coming up with this stuff. And it's not their little administrative assistants either. Many times this stuff comes from the social engineers, the think tanks, the people behind the scenes, the lobbyists. This massive amount of bureaucracy that happens behind the scene, unelected individuals who are bringing this legislation forward. And the legislators don't read it. They just go by it's got the Heroes Act. We have to pass that for the heroes because it's for the heroes. Or the It's for the Children Act because it's for the children. We have to keep the children safe. It's the Keep the Children Safe Act. Yeah. But doesn't it fund abortions? Yeah, we got to keep them safe. Okay. That makes no sense. Better pass it then, I guess. Yeah. Does it really take $3 trillion to do that? So, all this stuff happens, and nobody ever asks the question, okay, who's the people behind writing all this stuff? And that's the key right there. That's who's in charge. That's who's pulling the strings. That's who has the deep pockets. Those are the puppet masters behind the scenes of the puppets. And it does. There's sometimes that I think I've watched the Muppet Show and seen more realistic looking characters than sometimes what I see in Congress. But that's a story for another day. So we have Mike Lindell coming out with this whole thing on the election fraud. And it'll be interesting to see how this is handled from both the overwhelming force, the overwhelming factor that needs to be overcome here is the media on the left and the politicians and bureaucrats on the left are basically ready to steamroll over anybody who even brings up the idea that the election was not valid. So, and they have a huge amount of momentum right now. The fact that they are in power right now and have big tech on their sides, along with the media, is going to make this, to say it's an uphill battle is not even, this is an up, you know, Mount Everest battle to try to do anything at this point, even just to try to get the message out there. So even if it's all true, and I'm not going to say it is or isn't, I don't know, to see what comes out of this whole thing. So let's say it is all true. Let's say this whole thing goes by and we find out that, yes, it was absolutely a stolen election and the whole thing was, and that everything Trump said was vindicated and he was right and Nancy Powell was right, or not Nancy Powell, Sidney Powell was right. Excuse me. And so all these things were correct. And what if all that's true? And now there are some congressmen, there are some senators that I know will watch this thing. And I'm sure that they will, you know, if they bring anything up at all, they're going to be ostracized and, well, you know, they're not going to be treated well at all. They'll be considered insurrectionists. They'll be considered, you know, part of the conspiracy theory bunch. And because that's how this is going to roll. That's how it's going to roll. And, of course, the media will be on top of that. And everybody who listens to 30, yeah, I don't know how much news the average person listens to in a day. Probably maybe 30 minutes, maybe. The reality of it is a lot of our country, especially most of the country who is under the age of 35, most of the time, most of what they're listening to or the most of their entertainment, the highest percentage of it anyway, is music and other entertainment such as television shows, series, that kind of thing. Whether it's video, cable network, entertainment, comedy, sitcoms, that kind of thing. Those kinds of series. Or things like, drama series on television as well. So those are the kinds of things that most people under 35 are watching. I think the average is around 30 to 35 minutes a day for people listening to news. Now, that's not all. They don't sit down and watch a news program, typically. The average person, this is average, this is a general medium type thing, listens to the news at the top and bottom of an hour, which is all sound bites and, newscasters that want to share whatever news they decide is newsworthy. And then the possible little sound bites or sound clips that they happen to click on, maybe with a headline that's on YouTube or something like that, or a Google, pops up on a Google thing. And they'll click on that, or they'll happen to hear it, or they're sitting in an airport and happen to listen to some news. So that's the average person out there. Most people do not actively seek out news. The largest part of the population, the general population on average does not seek out news. They won't go to a YouTube thing and they'll look for a particular newscast or a news thing. That's not the normal average person. Now there are a lot of people who do, and that divide increases drastically when you go from one party affiliation to another. In other words, Democrats and Republicans have a very, very different interest in news. There's a huge swing when you look at Now, independence is another story. When have you ever been writing something and you put, but that's a whole nother story? That's not a word. by the way. People just say it all the time. I still say it a lot. On a whole nother level. Another. It's a whole other level. I think it's become, maybe it is a word now because we use it so much. Maybe the dictionary probably says it now. Didn't used to be. Probably is now. I probably got in trouble for using it when I was in high school or something. I don't know. Some kind of traumatic effect. Still stuck in my brain. Have to wash it down with a little hot chocolate. So they have so this issue of how, what's, you know, what will happen even with this whole thing. I mean, you know, what's the use basically of Mike Lindell putting this out even? But I think that it's important. I think it's important that we actually have the truth be told. Now I know that recently some of the events that have been happening, transparency is important, and I think it's, speaking of that, I think that first thing I want to get into basically is this whole thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yesterday when I was recording the last night's show, the vote was happening. Basically, they were voting. So the House was voting. There were, I think, 10 or 11 Republicans that voted with the Democrats to have her removed from committees. Now, think about this a little bit. I've heard quite a few commentators, and I have to agree. The reason I'm bringing it up is I agree with these commentators. There's some commentators who said some things about Rabbi Rick just texted me asking me why the troop withdrawal from Germany was frozen for some reason. I'll have to get into that. I'll have to find out more about that. What was I talking about? The whole Marjorie Taylor Greene thing is very troubling because the commentators that I've heard have said that this isn't going to stop with just her. And I agree. I have a feeling once they learn they can pick people off and start taking away the other parties, people they can start knocking them out of committees. That's just going to be a clown show. I mean, more of a clown show than it already is. The clown car is going to unload, basically. And here's where I don't think that you can tell the difference between the Republican establishment and the Republican, that the actual people who have their head on straight and are actually aware of what's going on. Last night, Sean Hannity was talking about how, well, just wait. What's it going to be like when they're not in power anymore? When the Democrats aren't in power, then what's going to happen? I think we need to kiss that bridge goodbye. I think that the Democrats believe, and I have a feeling that this could be the case. And I even heard some politicians. I can't remember who it was that. Sass or somebody, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the, it was kind of an establishment Republican guy. He was saying, he was standing in front of the cameras and he said, well, just wait until they're not in power. Then we're going to, then the rules, this standard now has opened up, all these avenues. First of all, if the Republicans ever do get back into power in the House, which I really seriously, I don't think they will. I don't know. I'm not very hopeful about it at this point, unless they can change something within the next year. They're not going to be, there's going to be a huge shift. I mean, unless we can pull off a huge primary thing and get a bunch of patriot candidates into the Republican Party, there's a lot of reformation that has to happen in the Republican Party in the next year for them to be able to pull off a win in 2022. Yeah. And I just don't, even then, with the election issues that we have, I think that the Democrats, except for in all of the...
Okay, I found this on the web. I think that the Democrats, check it out.
Okay, well, Siri, I didn't ask you anything, okay? So go away. What was that? Siri's just started in. I don't know what's going on with her. That's creepy. She's listening to everything I say. Yeah, that's scary. What was that? Where am I? Where am I? And what am I doing here? I think my memory was just erased. I saw a flash of light. Everything went away. So this guy's talking about the Republicans and how, you know, we'll just wait. We're going to be in power. Okay, so if you do get into power, so let's say just on some wild, crazy dream that you somehow pull it off. You manage to actually take control of the House again in 2022. Are you telling me you really think that the Republicans are going to use the same tactics as the Democrats? That they're going to start picking off people out of the picking off Democrats out of their committees? They're not going to do that. They see, and here's the problem with this. They seem to think that, well, we're going to show them an example of how you should do this, and so we're not going to do that to them because we're gonna take the high road and we're gonna be the good people. We're gonna do what's right. And it is right. Here's the problem. They don't care. You're not gonna teach them anything. So don't act all tough about this and act like, oh well, just wait, you're opening up a Pandora's box. No, you're just you've lost that fight, okay? You're not going to go there unless you start seeing more people like Marjorie Taylor Greene get into office, some of these freshmen who are not going to back down on this baloney. Because that's who they are. That's just who they are. They don't have, again, the only standard is the end justifies the means. And they'll throw a tizzy fit and make a big deal out of it if you do what they have done. And the whole idea of projection, and here's what kind of bothers me about whenever they start to accuse people and start to go after Trump and do things and say things about individuals, the thing that concerns me a lot about that is that they are 90% or 95%, maybe 99% projection. In other words, these are things that they would think of doing, therefore they project them on you. There are things that they say sometimes that aren't even in my head. I would never even think to say some of the things that they say, that accuse the others of doing. And so you have to stop and think a little bit, okay, how did that get in your head to begin with? Because if they were in that position, that's what they would do. That's how it got in their head. And sure enough, when they get in that position, guess what they do? They do those very things. But it's okay because they feel like they are justified by their righteousness, or should I say their self-righteousness. And yes, it is a very real thing. It's disturbing, as many things are, very disturbing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the next couple of days before the trial on Monday. Now, there's been a lot of flack flying around, and of course, a lot of, you know, he said, she said, a lot of. A lot of flim-flam, a lot of hullabaloo. I can come up with these words all day, so I'll stop with that. All right. On another note, since this is the week that they had to put Officer Sicknick in the to lay him in honor at the in the Capitol there. First of all, let me say this at the very beginning, and it's important that you understand my heart in this, because I totally respect Officer Sicknick. He did nothing wrong. He was an honorable man. He served his country as a Capitol Police officer. And I'm sure he served well. I have not heard anything bad about the guy. Other than the fact that he was a Trump supporter, believe it or not. Of course, that hasn't come up at all in any of the newscasts. And I joke about that. I mean, being a Trump supporter is fine. I don't care if he was a Trump supporter or if he was a Biden supporter or a Kamala Harris supporter. Or Bernie guy. It doesn't matter. He served his country as a Capitol Police officer. However, he was actually a Trump supporter. They're making it out to sound like he died at the scene. He did not die at the scene. They were saying that he possibly was bludgeoned by a fire extinguisher. That is now in question. There is no one who witnessed that. There is no one who is close to the situation who has given any kind of report that actually happened. Anyone close to the event. However, there is some question about whether or not he had ingested or inhaled a bunch of tear gas. The issue, or not tear gas, pepper spray or bear spray. There's a stuff that it's like pepper spray, but it's used to defend off from bears. And it's possible that some people in the crowd had that, were spraying it on the police. That's very possible. So I think that's probably more likely. If he did bump his head, maybe he fell down, something like that. Something happened after he got hit with that stuff. However, and here's the deal. I was asking this in an earlier show. I think I asked about it. I talked about it yesterday morning or last night. The autopsy on Officer Sicknick. There was one. I have confirmed that there was an autopsy on Officer Sicknick. And I have determined that they are not releasing the results of that autopsy. And I don't know if they ever will. That in and of itself is also troubling when you have someone saying that Trump is guilty of murder. Now, there's also no one has been charged in the killing of Officer Sicknick. What they're calling the killing of Officer Sicknick. There are a lot of questionable things about his case, and I can speculate all day long, and I can go there. I have the right to do that, but I also don't. I don't want that to get passed on as being some kind of fact or something that I've discovered. It's not. You know, known yet what's going on in terms of, and I don't know that we can even trust the media if something does come out. And that's the sad part of the state of our country right now, is that if it comes out on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox, I don't know what's going on there. And sadly, I think it does a dishonor to him more so than to be used as a pawn, if that's what they're doing, because maybe he didn't die from what happened that day. And they're just using him as a pawn, which I think is absolutely dishonorable and disgusting. Maybe he did die that day, and I think that's still disgusting that he did. And if they don't charge somebody for it, if they don't figure it, if they try to lay that at the feet of Trump, I say Bush earlier, if they try to blame Trump for that, there again, it's ridiculous. Now, some other information has come out about the whole Capitol Police thing, and this is interesting. And I can't find the article. I read it yesterday. It came in an email, and I thought I saved it. I may have accidentally deleted it, but it came out. It was a good report. Oh, you know where I think it might be. I think it may have actually been sent to me. So I'm going to look right now and see what I can find. I think it was actually. The Capitol Police, the one guy who, yes, it was the ex-Capitol Police chief. The timeline has been debunked as ex-Capitol Police chief says Pelosi and McConnell, the sergeant at arms for the Capitol building, report directly to Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. They are his direct report. The Washington Post has reported that the outgoing Capitol Police Chief, Steve Sund, believes his efforts to secure the premises were undermined by a lack of concern from House and Senate security officials, who answered directly to Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. Yeah. So, in the Washington Post timeline proves it was impossible for Trump speech attendees to have made it to the Capitol in time for the breach. So they weren't a part of that. There are a lot of things being twisted around about what the people who were arrested, what they're saying. They're putting words in their mouth and saying that we thought this is what Trump wanted us to do. Okay, well, the guy who shot Reagan thought he was going to get Jodie Foster's attention by shooting Reagan. Are you going to blame Jodie Foster? The people who did it are the people who are responsible. It always comes back to that. They're trying to tie Trump to this. And again, there are so many things that the left has said that you could tie all the things that they're doing, all the things that happened because of what they've said. And we can start, you know, pretty much everybody can be arrested for something. Let's just put them all in jail. Maybe that's what they're doing. They're at the fence. They're all in jail and they don't even know it. It's a prison wall and they don't even know they're in there. It's very fitting. So just to continue to beat the dead horse about the standards of our illustrious leaders. Here's an example of... you're not hearing this because I didn't have the little volume thing on, so you can't hear it. Because I'm an amateur. So we had Nancy Pelosi was asked about statues and stuff at one point. This is back when the statue thing was a big deal. People were tearing down statues. Now keep in mind, this isn't funny. I mean, it's not funny for the family. It's funny, not funny, ha ha. So it's Nancy Pelosi was saying this thing, the whole thing about the statues. I talked about this yesterday, so I got this little audio clip of her doing this. She's not concerned about statues, and she thinks people are going to do what they're going to do, and you know it's not a big deal. Now this is about a 1 minute clip, and I didn't want to edit this down at all, so people can't accuse me of taking something out of context because the statement in and of itself is a contextual statement. I mean, it's her opinion. It's her, obviously her attitude towards this. However, she prefaces it with a total comment that is political speak. And it's just, again, more grandstanding and stuff. So she says this stuff about the statues and about the people who tear them down and all that. Now, keep in mind, there was a guy who got killed by a statue that fell down. And that wasn't a good thing. Now, could a city worker get killed taking down a statue? Yeah, that could happen, but there's probably less likelihood of that happening if it was taken down in an orderly manner by the town council because the city voted on it. We don't just abdicate just because she doesn't care about the statue doesn't mean that the community doesn't care about the statue. And that's what aggravates me about this. Just because she doesn't care about it means that, well, if the community wants to tear it down, then just go out and tear it down. No, about 100 people in a community came out to tear it down. In a community of 1 million, that's not very many people, and they just decided on their own. That's called mob rule. And can you imagine if these people were in the majority? Doesn't matter. I mean, majority rule is not the way we run our country. And this gets back to the whole thing of having a republic and being based on a constitutional rights issues. Because if 51% of the people can rule by majority, they can vote that the other 49% of the people, or 10% of the people, whatever percentage is on the other side of that 51%, they can vote to have them executed. Well, it's majority rule. The people have spoken. Well, the people have spoken down in Georgia about Marjorie Taylor Greene. They elected her a month ago, or back in November, knowing full well who she was. And they have spoken, but the Democrats have decided that she's not worthy to be on committee because of some of the things she has said. Because of some likes that she clicked on Facebook. It wasn't even comments she made, actually. It was just all stuff that she clicked on, that she liked, or that she shared on Facebook and Twitter years ago. So it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And so this was Nancy Pelosi's attitude back in the day when the statues were being torn down. Because, well, like I said yesterday, we'll get into this more, but let's listen to the statement and we'll go from there.
Not one of those people who's wedded to, oh, a statue to somebody someplace is an important thing. If the community doesn't want the statue there, the statue shouldn't be there. That doesn't diminish my pride in my Italian-American heritage and the fact that it was a country discovered by an Italian, named for an Italian, Amerigo Vespucci. So I have that pride, but I don't care that much about statues.
She says that with a smile on her face.
City council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do. I do think that from a safety standpoint, it would be a good idea to
for the children's
have it taken
safety.
Down if the community doesn't want it. I don't know that it has to be a commission.
Not a commission. Just a community.
A community view. And sometimes it's something that's been there, that view has been there for a while.
In the book of Genesis.
Yeah, that goes on to my next video, but we're not going to talk about that. So there you go. There you have it. That's Nancy's opinion about that kind of thing. That if the community decides, okay, well, there was a small community of people who didn't like Congress being there, apparently on January 6th, and they decided they were going to tear it down. Well, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. I don't care too much about buildings. You don't hear that coming from Nancy. All you hear about is the Temple of Democracy. Because she abides in that place. She's in there. That's why she cares about it. To hear her say, this all played into her political opinion. She thought it looked bad on Trump that people were tearing down statues and all these people were coming out against the racists. Yeah. And we can get into an argument about, we can have this whole discussion about whether or not taking down statues of our history, good and bad, whether we agreed with it or not, whether or not those things should be taken down. Should we just forget about it? Should it be taken down and never talked about or discussed? Even the bad parts, the dark parts of our history? I don't think it should. That's my opinion. Now, I don't know, maybe at some point it does need to be put away and just, you know, put in a book somewhere, hopefully, because I don't want to put it on Wikipedia because it'll get changed there. I don't trust anything online anymore. It's very difficult to, when you start seeing, in fact, I'm concerned about, you know, think about this, your Bible app. If you use a Bible app, which is an awesome thing. You can, you know, you carry your Bible around with you all the time. When you look something up, you just put it in the search window and it pops up. The question is, who's controlling all that? and what kind of changes are going to be made to that thing. And they're already talking about banning parts of the Bible. Or you, if you there are certain scriptures that if you post certain scriptures on Facebook, they will take them down. This happens, folks. This is where we are headed. It's not just, oh, well, they would never do that, or they can never get away with that. They're getting away with it. And if you see the direction that they're headed, and it's not changing, then think about where the end goal is for that. Where are we going to be in 10 years or 20 years down the road from that? And you think it's going to be easier to stop it then than it will be now? So just be aware. Just don't hide your head in the sand and think that this isn't happening. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to have you prepared for this. There's a difference between being, you know, between trying to scare someone and manipulate them with fear, or trying to prepare you for what's about to happen. Wake up and realize what's happening with us here. Don't be scared of it. God's got you on this. We've got, you know, he just read the book of Revelation, figure it out. We're going to be living in that at some point, at least through part of it, or some of it. We're going to see the birth pangs at least, and it ain't going to be pretty. So just prepare yourself mentally for this. We are entering into a major spiritual battle in this nation. And you might say, well, we're already in it. Yeah, we are, but it's, believe it or not, this is just the beginning. So just be aware of that. We have, there's a couple other things I want to talk about, and I'm getting behind in my time. I'm behind my time. Some people are ahead of their time. I'm behind my time. I'm not sure exactly what that even means. He was ahead of his time. Well, does that mean he's like he had his clock set behind? He had his clock set ahead, or what did he do there? The battery? How does that work? So the Border Patrol, this is a left turn. Going off on the left here. The Border Patrol, I just want to throw all these things in before I close the show because I don't want you guys to miss anything because I know how you are. You'll blame me if you miss something. You can't get through your day without hearing what I have to say about the news. And the Border Patrol has, down in Arizona, just recently picked up 11 Iranians coming across the border. This happened, I believe, on Wednesday. Let me say that again. 11 Iranians coming across the Mexican border in Arizona. Last I heard, this was Valerie Jarrett's cousins. No, I don't know who they are. No connection there as far as we know. But I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Holder is involved in this whole thing. So that's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? It's kind of important, maybe, considering that 19 guys, only 7 more, or what is that? 8, I can't do math. I think that's 8. 8 more guys. Killed 3,000 people and brought down a couple buildings and crashed a bunch of airplanes about 20 years ago. What can they do now with 11? Or maybe there was another group that got through that we didn't know about. Maybe there was 100 of them that got through that we didn't know about. So that's really, keep your eye on the ball here today and see what happens. I'm not sure. I know at some point this documentary will be coming out. One American News Network, OANN, is supposed to going to be running it, I believe, on their network. If you get that in your on cable or if you get it on YouTube or wherever. I doubt if they're going to let them run it on YouTube. You'll probably have to go to OANN.com or OneAmericanNewsNetwork.com or whatever their thing is, .com, something on a .com or maybe .tv or .org, dot, dot hey look at me. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'll try to this evening's show. I will probably try to put out a link if I can find one. I'm sure I'll do that. And maybe I'll have a chance to listen to some of the thing and give you a synopsis, or whatever that's called. I guess it would be a synopsis, according to Jen Psaki, when she circles back, backy. The AOC, see, I talked about AOC a little bit. She's still in deep trouble. The Border Patrol got that. I talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? I talked about that. I've got all that in there. The other thing is keep an eye out for, there's something to watch today. Watch for today. Watch for the rhetoric coming from Congress today. And in along with that, the way the media covers things that are going on in certain states. Yes, there are riots happening. BLM, I believe it was last night, possibly, or night before, within the last 24 hours, was attacking a police precinct again. It was in Rochester. I'm sorry, Rochester. I think it was Rochester, Minnesota, I believe. Minnesota. All over the thing about where that 9-year-old girl got pepper sprayed. And they're chanting again and trying to tear down the fence. And they did tear down the fence, cause a bunch of damage. They deserve a Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. So they're up for that. I'm sure they'll get one. All Trump did was establish a peace treaty between a bunch of countries over in Middle East. There's some interesting thing happened with troop stuff, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. I know Biden, I just heard that Biden froze the German troop withdrawal, I believe, and then also, or withdrawal from Germany, as well as some stuff going on in Syria, and the Saudis, I guess, somehow now we have withdrawn from Saudi. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not real sure how I feel about all that anyway. I don't know. I think the Saudis have more issues than, we're not as beholden to them as we were, but we're going to be again because of the oil issue. So we'll see what happens with all that. Again, I want to appreciate everybody who's been listening to the show, and especially those who've been sharing the show. The listenership is going up exponentially here in the last little while. And last week or so, and I really appreciate that. It's been very helpful to know that the show is getting out there, commercial free, and information free. Sometimes, I do appreciate everybody listening to the podcast and sharing it and subscribing. Hopefully, it's entertaining for you as well as informational. Hopefully you get at least something out of it. Maybe just a good laugh occasionally. Maybe. For those of you who didn't hear the TNA to Me Singers, the News According to Me Singers, yesterday morning, or yesterday afternoon, I guess it was, they played a little ditty. So have a chance to go back and listen to that episode. I believe it was episode 72, maybe. 72? 73? 70-something. Hard to believe got that many episodes already. The show is only about a month and a half old. So have a great day, everybody. God bless. Take care. And keep praying for the nation. How dare you?